Welcome to the Moral and Ethical Leadership Podcast, hosted by the BYU Management Society Salt Lake Chapter. I'm Dave Austin.
And I'm Kurt Franken.
And we are lucky each week to be able to speak with a voice of light. And this week we get to speak with Michael Dunn. Michael Dunn is the Managing Director of BYU Broadcasting in Provo, Utah, where he oversees the nationwide operations of the BYU TV and BYU Radio Networks. He previously served as the General Manager of KUED Channel 7 PBS in Salt Lake City. Prior to his public television experience, he founded and operated Dunn Communications and received four Clios, an award considered the Oscar of the advertising industry. He also garnered two Emmy nominations, one of which earned the Emmy Award for Public Service in 1992 from the National Academy of Television Arts and Sciences. Michael spent 13 years as a senior writer and producer for Bonneville Communications, where he worked on the highly acclaimed Homefront campaign for the LDS Church and Fotheringham and Associates, now Richter 7. A graduate of the University of Utah, he began his career as a freelance print journalist and later moved to the broadcast side, working in radio and television as a reporter and producer for KUTV in Salt Lake City. Brother Dunn was mission president of the South Africa Johannesburg Mission in 2014 to 2017, and in April of 2018 was called to the 12th Quorum of the 70 as an Area 70 and currently serves in the Utah South area. Brother Dunn, Michael, thank you so much for being with us. And one of the things I learned about you was that you love to do triathlons. How many have you done? Which events do you compete in? And what's been your favorite so far?
Well, first of all, thanks for the incredible introduction. I do love that. I love the variety of triathlons. I'm particularly fond of long course triathlons like Ironmans. And so have done a couple of those, and including one I did with my wife, if you can believe it. On the very day of our 40th wedding anniversary, I talked her into it. I said, "You've endured me for four decades. How about we take on the world's ultimate endurance event?" She agreed, and then proceeded to kick me into the ground. She was so tough, but it was. I love it. I love endurance events. Love competing, and love what you learn about yourself and about life through those kind of events.
That's awesome. And Michael, can you tell us maybe just what are you most proud of and how did you become the managing director at BYU-TV?
Well, my wife and I, as you mentioned, were in South Africa, enjoying a wonderful experience leading the mission there. Love the people of South Africa, the missionaries, just the incredible experiences we were having. And lo and behold, just as we were wrapping up our service there, we're summoned to a video conference call by some of the senior leadership of the church who asked us if that would maybe be the next chapter of our lives to come and work with BYU TV and BYU Radio. And we were thrilled. We were surprised. I mean, absolutely surprised. But now that we've been here for, it'll be 4 years in April, we're just so incredibly blessed by the experience. And I sort of see it as an amalgam of everything I've done in my life, my previous TV experience, the marketing experience, television production. You know, I come from the creative production side of the business. And so I just love the great things that we're doing both with BYU TV and BYU Radio, and really proud of being a source of light and truth in the world.
That's awesome. And Michael is, you know, as just a layperson who enjoys, you know, BYU broadcasting as a viewer. You know, I don't think a lot of people understand maybe the intricacies or the purposes and missions of these organizations, because the church has many media operations like Bonneville Communications and all the operations under that umbrella. So how do you describe BYU broadcasting and its purpose and what sets it apart from maybe some of those others?
Great question, Kurt. And you know what I think is really different about what we do is I like to tell people I'm very fond that, you know, we're a general entertainment family network. We're set up so that parents and children can enjoy our network together. Co-viewing is what we call it. And it's really a very unique dynamic in Hollywood. People all the time are saying to us, "Oh, you've stumbled across something really amazing. This is so brilliant." You know, and I'm just thinking, you know, this is the way television started out when Walt Disney and others envisioned it. It was to, you know, be consumed together as a family and to be, you know, a source of really good things. Now, we're not only, of course, general entertainment, but we're also proud of the myriad of shows we carry, scripted shows, unscripted shows, cooking shows, and then, of course, our whole faith and religion and spirituality series, which is a big part of it. And it's that amalgam that I think is so appealing to the general public. You know, this will surprise a lot of people, but we're in nearly 88 million homes across the United States. And what I like to see, I think specifically in answer to your question, Kurt, is that I think we serve as a store window for the church, meaning people outside the church, friends of other faiths, people of no faith, can look in on what BYU TV is doing without making a commitment, without, you know, sort of thinking, oh, I'm interested in the church, but really see what we're doing, see the great shows about doing really wonderful things in life, most specifically service-oriented shows, which, you know, a lot of our shows, ironically, are about. They're Second Commandment shows. They're about doing good things for other people. But with that storefront analogy, they can look in and see and understand that, you know what? Those people as members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints are really normal people. They're just like you and me. They're trying to build a better world. They believe that we're all sons and daughters of a loving God, just trying to do the best we can in our life. And so I think it removes a lot of doubts and suspicions. And what I hope, and this is very anecdotal, but I get letters all the time that begin usually with something like this. Dear Mr. Dunn, I am not a member of your church, but dot, dot, dot. And then they proceed to thank me, which is ironic because our collective team here of nearly 200 people, you know, produces both video and audio content that people are really celebrating, really seeing as different. So we're a collector. We're someone that puts this light and truth out there against really what President Ballard has described as an ever darkening media landscape. And I think the contrast is what people see and why they come in. And to be honest with you, Kurt, it's really fun day to day just to do good things that you know everyone in the world's going to enjoy.
And to that point, Michael, why do you think the content that you produce is so needed in the world today? And also, how do you measure BYU TV success?
Well, without disparaging other streaming providers of content, it's interesting. Just sometime go look at their menu board, their carousel, we call it, of the programs that are offered. And I would tell you, probably if you're like me, you're like most times, no, yeah. You read the description. I don't think so. I just really don't want to go there. You know, on the other hand, look at anything at BYUTV.org. And as you flip through our offerings, you'll just be like, I've got to have more time in my day to watch all these programs. And our commitment to viewers and really to people is, you know, we want to be lunge-free TV. Meaning you don't have to watch this as a parent ready to grab the remote and either fast forward or mute or whatever. Instead, it's things that you're really proud to watch together as a family. And I think not just watch, we want consumers and viewers that are active. They're processing things. And I would dare say that it's pretty hard to watch one of our shows and not conclude that show. And then as a parent or even as a child to say, now, why do you think they did that, Dad? It's ironic. I was talking to someone just today who said their family watches it and their kids are now all a Twitter because they want to go out and find ways they can assist in the world. And they're driving the conversation, you know, with their parents. So I think that's really exciting. How do we measure success? Well, selfishly, we're probably like any other network. We want more viewers. We want to see more people enjoying this. But I think it's really interesting because, you know, when I first came on, I asked that same question of the senior leadership of the church that brought me in. I said, what is the ROI? What do you want to get out of this? Is it more baptisms? Is it, you know, more faithful people? I'm asking all the questions. And our great leader said something very interesting to me. Of course, they want people to progress along the covenant pathway. That's what everything is. You know, we're centered in what President Nelson has called the gathering, which is the greatest challenge, the greatest event, the greatest force that we're all about, you know, this day. But in that specific instance, what I was told is we want to be a source of light and truth in the world. We want to add this light, this essence of the restoration, if you will, of the gospel, so that everything we do is perfumed in the light and the aroma of the restoration. And I think you feel that. You really feel that. I was in a meeting in Los Angeles with, I'll keep them unnamed, but a major platform distributor of content. And I said, you know what we do, right? Our programs. And they kind of rolled their eyes. And I could see these senior executives going, yeah, yeah, yeah. Because when they hear BYU TV, they're in their mind, they're thinking, oh yeah, these are pulpit pounding preachers that, you know, kind of deliver sermons. And I said, let me just show you what we do. And so we showed them a 2.5 minute, we call a sizzle reel, highlights of all the shows that we do. Well, at the end of 2.5 minutes, two of the five executives were in tears. They were absolutely in tears. The other three we could see were moved, you know, beyond just trying to hold back the tears. And I'll never forget the words of this one executive, not a member of the church, obviously, but watching what we do. She just simply dabbed her eyes and said, you know what? You are BYU TV. You are my palate cleanser for Netflix. And I thought that was so interesting. I don't mean to disparage Netflix because they have a lot of good stuff on that platform as well. But I thought it was really interesting what she was saying. She got it. She saw sort of the plethora of really good, uplifting content we have, which, by the way, if you haven't watched it, it's not preachy. It's not smaltzy. I mean, this is really good stuff, which you just feel good about watching. And that's what I'm proud about. And I'm proud to have network executives like that go, you're different and you're good. We like that.
Yeah, that's great. And I'm curious to get your perspective on this changing industry, because as it seems like every, you know, more and more streaming services are popping up and types of content are being fragmented. There's so many shows. And where 10 years ago, I would always come across BYU broadcasting just by sort of going down the channel list, you know, and right. I'd see it there and obviously watch shows I plan to watch. But now I find that with these, streaming services, you don't stumble upon some of this content. So how do you approach that in the changing world of media?
Well, you know, one of the things that I'm dealing with as a consumer, I know you are as well, Kurt, is there are just this plethora of very vertical streaming services. And, you know, just when you've got your Amazon Prime subscription and Netflix, then you realize, no, Disney's available. So I've got to do that. And it seems like a pretty small thing until you start to add all those up and you're pretty heavily invested. You're almost back to the days where your cable bill, outrageous as it was, is now just in consuming all these services. And you're right, they're so vertical that sometimes you don't get the variety of services, you know, that are out there. So a couple of things we've done that I think are interesting is, first of all, and I don't mean to make this a commercial, but it actually is a good commercial because you can't lose with this one. BYU TV, our app, and BYU Radio, our app, are totally free. There is no fee for it, and yet you get all this great content. So I think we're a pretty easy proposition when, you know, when we're out there. But what we're trying to do that's so interesting is we realize that as widely as we're carried on both over the air as well as digital services, we're not going to get out there if we remain vertical just in our particular orbit. So we've partnered with a lot of amazing entertainment industries. One of our big series, I'm proud to say, Dwight in Shining Armor, which is now in its fifth season, Paramount, yes, the Paramount just acquired all the international rights to about a year and a half ago. And so think how amazing this is. They are repping BYU TV, a BYU TV series in Europe and in Asia and in the Middle East. And all of a sudden, all these countries in Italy and in Germany and in Spain and in Turkey, and it just, the list goes on, are now airing a program which they buy from us that begins with a huge main title that says, BYU TV presents, and boom. And again, it's an affiliation with Paramount. We're working on another deal just today. I just read the draft of the press release with the BBC. We're about to launch an incredible new series with the BBC. And again, what I love about that is to partner with like-minded really wonderfully progressive and yet traditional partners like the BBC to put out great content. And it's so good for us to be partnering, you know, with known media entities like that. And so what it does, Kurt, is it diversifies us, because all of a sudden our product begins to appear on multiple platforms, you know, besides just the BBC or, you know, whatever the network, pick your network or platform or streaming service. So we're trying to broaden us into as many pipelines as we can get into, as opposed to putting all our eggs in one basket with one delivery system.
That's what I love about BYU TV, as you mentioned, is the service aspect of that, of the shows that are on there. We recently interviewed Kirby Hayborn, Making Good, and just love that whole, you feel good about what you watch, with especially with all the challenges in the world today. My son and daughter started a service club a few years ago, and it's just so fun to see them be able to go out and feel good about themselves doing nice things for others. I wanted to switch gears for just a second, if that's okay, and wonder if you can talk to us a little bit about being a mission president. What goes into that, and maybe also, what are your thoughts about missionaries serving during a pandemic?
Wow. Well, first of all, let me just say this. Bless the mission presidents and their companions who are leading the charge on the front lines during this time. I could not imagine having to deal with that and all of the other stuff you have to deal with as a mission president. And when I say stuff, that may sound a little bit pejorative. It's not at all. My wife, Linda, and I were reflecting on our service just the other day, and we just thought, wow, that was like a dream, you know, that we had that opportunity to be able to go do that and work with all these amazing young men. We don't have any sister missionaries, unfortunately, in South Africa, but all the amazing young men and senior couples we worked with, and local leaders and members and those not of our faith. It was just an absolutely incredible experience. Is it demanding? Is it exhausting? Well, not if you're used to 12, 14-hour days. I guess it's not. But it's interesting, because I really believe, and I'll just testify to this, that the Lord gives you this incredible extra capacity. You get for your cell phone, as it were, one extra little battery, so you can go, you know, late into the night with those additional meetings, you know, that are sometime, you know, required. And yeah, it's taxing, but it's also sweet and just, you know, wonderful beyond belief. But as I say, when you layer that on now, dealing, you know, in a COVID situation where you're talking about major groups of missionaries transferring from this mission to that mission, and how do you deal with missionaries who are sequestered, you know, in their flats or their apartments day in and day out? I don't know. But I do know some of the incredible men and women that are serving as mission presidents and companions right now. And it kind of, what comes to my mind are the words of Mordecai, right, to Ezra, you know, that it was for just such a time as this that you were called into the kingdom. I think these mission presidents and companions, they have incredible skill sets that I frankly don't have. And I don't know how I could have managed, but I also relish the time that we had, you know, which was even ending in 2017. It was just a little bit different time there. So unbelievable opportunity. I don't know why we were called. Well, I do know my wife is because of my wife, but we absolutely loved it. And I would also say this, that it's one of the few callings in the church where you legitimately and genuinely serve with your companion, your wife. And there's so few callings like that where you're like 24/7, you know, involved in that. And what a sweet experience that was. I don't know if you can tell, I loved it.
That's awesome. And then I'm curious to know, during this time serving as a Area 70, obviously in a pre-COVID world, you're lots of state conferences you're probably attending that weekend, on the weekends and whatnot. But from that perspective, visiting maybe different stakes, maybe remotely, what resilience have you seen, or any stories coming to mind during this time?
Well, I serve in the Utah area, and so I'll be assigned to stakes actually in Utah, Idaho, and Wyoming. And as fate would have it, a lot of my assignments are to very remote areas of our tri-state area. And here's the thing I would say is that, first of all, I'm astounded just completely humbled by the amazing people that are members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the leaders, both men and women, who are so dedicated, so diligent, who, you know, like these mission presidents, against all odds, they're managing, you know, during this COVID time. And one of the sweet things I have is now that state conferences have resumed, I'm actually out 2 to 3, sometimes 4 weekends a month. And even though they're remote in many of these stakes, I'll still go to the stake center, meet with the stake presidency, and we'll actually do the conference virtually, you know, from there. And I'm really grateful for that. It's great to be in situ, to be in that environment, and to just sort of feel, you know, what that stake is really like. Of course, I'd love so much more to be, you know, with the members, to be right there. Just like I'd actually prefer Dave and Kurt to be with you right now, as opposed to doing this, you know, virtually. But isn't it a blessing that we have this technology and we can do this and have the kind of teaching and conversations and sort of intimate communication we have, which just astounds me that we're able to do this and carry on. And that's the technology side. If you look at everything that President Nelson has done in his epic and very short ministry to prepare us now for this time, it's if you don't have a testimony, that will give you one, just to see the way that we have been uniquely prepared doctrinally to take on this time. So I love it. I feel blessed by the experience of serving in that capacity.
And to that point, what are your thoughts about the future? There's obviously some pessimism out there around the future and around the present, to be quite honest. What are your thoughts on how to be and why to be optimistic, both in the church and just in general in the future?
Well, I would say, and you know, I'm a glass half full person anyway, right? I'm very, very bullish on our future. And the reason I am is my horizon is really fixed on what I know through the restored gospel. I know there's a savior. I know there's a God in heaven. He's in charge. He knows the end from the beginning. And the instruction to us is do what you're supposed to do, have faith, progress along that covenant pathway, and it's all going to work out. Now, that may sound very simplistic, but if you really think about it, that is the great hope that all of us really need to cling to, that there is a grand plan, which, by the way, do you love that it's called the plan of happiness? And the closer we stick to it, I think that's the end product, is we truly get that happiness. And people have said, well, yeah, what about COVID? We're remote now, and people are really liking the idea of this home-centered church. They're not going to come back to church, you know? I beg to differ. I think it's interesting. Even, you know, the conferences that I've been back in, we've sort of seen record numbers watching people sort of gather. They're coming back. It's kind of a Mosiah 18 phenomenon. There's a reason there's a church. We need to come together around common causes and be together. Now, will we hug and embrace and do things like we've done in the past? Probably not. Will there be more meetings virtually via Zoom? I think so. There's some efficiencies that, you know, that we've learned through that. But in terms of the church, the need to come together, not only for the ordinances of the kingdom, but I think there's something very special about worshiping together, about just being together for church. There's a power in that that can't come in any other way. And yes, our families are central, and that is the key. But collectively, in our units, be they branches, wards, or stakes, that's where we need to be. And I think you'll see people, as conditions improve, which I think they will later this year, you'll see them coming back in droves.
Well, anything that you haven't mentioned as far as anything you're excited about with programming or things at BYU Broadcasting that we should also be excited about?
You know, if you can believe it, even in this COVID era, we have 21 major shows in production right now.
Wow.
Well, that's at various stages. Some are in script development, some are in pre-production, some are actually shooting right now, and others are in post-production. There's so many great things we have coming up. Can I tease just 2 shows that are my kind of personal favorites coming up? One is a series from the creators of Dwight and Shining Armor. It's called Ruby in the Well. basic plot line is this. A young girl and her father inherit some land in a small town part of middle America, unnamed sort of town, and they go to inherit this land, and it's dried up and nothing is growing there. And Ruby, this little girl, discovers a well and reads and understands about it. I won't totally ruin the plot here for you, give you a spoiler alert, but she learns that as people have made wishes in this well, that as she helps through her service to fulfill those wishes, life begins to come back to this particular part of the land. And we see it green up as she and her father go about literally fulfilling a lot of these wishes for a lot of people. It's a beautiful sort of quasi fantasy series that I just know people are going to love. Very, very sweet show. The other one, which we just have concluded principal photography on in Romania. Now we're waiting to shoot the other in the Philippines when things improve there, hopefully in March, is a made for TV movie that'll also be released theatrically called, the working title is Act of God. I don't think that's going to be the final name, but you'll know the story. It's the story of the 10 sister missionaries who were trapped in their apartment during the typhoon in the Philippines in, I think it was 2014. I'm off on the years. Anyway, they all were trapped in there because of the rising floodwaters, were able to escape. And along the way, their individual stories of faith or lack of faith and how they built those is told in this movie. What I'm mostly thrilled about this on is we have international partners on. So it's not a church movie? Our partners love this story of faith and survival. And yes, it's very much centered in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints missionary program, but it's an epic, sweet, beautiful story that I think people are going to really love. So watch for that. It'll probably have a different name because that's one of the last things we decide. But really excited about those two shows, as I am about everything we're doing.
Well, Michael, Brother Dunn, thank you so much for being with us today. We sure appreciate your time.
Thank you. I'm really honored, and thanks for the great things you guys are doing. Love this show.
Thank you so much, and thank you to all of our listeners. We'll be back again next week with our next episode of Voices of Light. Have a great week.